Gerald declined to run the meeting in person, so I guess I'll be the virtual chair. I'm going to call to order the quarterly meeting of the Treasury Oversight Committee on February 16th. It is 11:02. We'll have Janelle do the roll call for us so we can see who's here.
Okay. Janet Dutcher?
Here.
Gerald Frank?
Here.
Jennifer Kreitz?
Here.
Jennifer Weston? George Savage?
Here.
Bob Gardner? Daniel Holler? And Rob Patterson?
Here.
Looks like we have a quorum. First item, or second item on the agenda here is public comments. Don't see anybody from the public, so we won't pause for too long and we'll move on. Next item is a resolution authorizing virtual meetings under AB 361. This is kind of a housekeeping, but we can't continue with me, at least up on the screen until we adopt this resolution. It'll be the last time that we do this because come March 1st, the rules change. And the only way to attend virtual is based on some very narrow exceptions that occur very often. So with that, I would ask for a motion and a second on this resolution.
I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution for virtual meetings.
So we have a first and a second. Any further comment?
Just that this wasn't done for the normal 30 days. It was to end with the assembly bill ending.
Okay.
Right, so the end of February is when it will expire. Good point. Janelle, why don't you go ahead and call for the vote?
Janet Dutcher, how do you vote?
Yes.
Gerald Frank, how do you vote?
Yes.
Jennifer Kreitz, how do you vote?
Yes.
George Savage, how do you vote?
Yes.
And Rob Patterson, how do you vote?
All right, moving on to item number four. These are the minutes from our last quarterly meeting that happened on November 9th. Does anybody have any comments or changes to note in those minutes? Hearing none, I'll look for a first and a second to vote on this item.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting.
I'll second.
I have a first and a second. Janelle, will you call for the vote?
Janet Dutcher, how do you vote?
Yes.
Gerald Frank, how do you vote?
Yes.
Jennifer Kreitz, how do you vote?
Yes.
George Savage, how do you vote?
Yes.
And Rob Patterson, how do you vote?
Yes.
Okay. Moving on to the good parts of the agenda. So next one is correspondence. I received this letter from the California Association of County Treasurers and Tax Collectors, which Gerald and I belong to. This letter was in response to an article that appeared in the governing magazine. I haven't read the article, but I'm familiar with the reason why they wrote this letter. One of the things that we have to do every year when we prepare our financial statements, and Rob, you have to do it too with the city if you're complying with government accounting standards, is we have to take our investments, which we normally track and report at what we call amortized costs. We take our costs and we amortize discounts and premiums over the terms of our investments, and that's what we report and manage to. But at the end of each fiscal year, on just that one day, June 30th, we have to adjust all of our investments to market value. Even though any increase between market value and amortized costs, or in this case, which has been occurring more and more often the last couple of years, the decrease, we'll never sell our investments on June 30th and take a loss for all of our agencies. State law, kind of speaks against that, and our investment policy certainly doesn't. And so a lot of times there's a misunderstanding in the community and the readers of financial statements, a lot from constituents and a lot from board, that because there's a loss, that the market value is below cost, that's a bad thing, and you just incurred losses for all of our agencies that are invested in our pool. That's not true. That loss is unrealized. we never book that loss. The only time we do is when we have extreme uncertainty about whether we're going to redeem our investment at the end of the maturity. We did that with maybe GE.
Yes.
Can't remember now. I think we've done it twice in the time that I've been here, and they were circumstances where we had severe downgrading of credit, and there was uncertainty that, you know, if we have a 3 years to maturity, that waiting out those 3 years was going to be very much in question. And so I thought this letter did a really good job of putting in plain English that we have priorities when we make decisions to invest. First is we make sure that we have security, that if we invest for 5 years, at the end of 5 years, we're going to get that money back, and principal will be whole, and we will not lose taxpayer money. Second is we got to make sure we have enough cash on hand so we can pay the bills. That's liquidity. It only is until you get to the third priority that we're even talking about anything that remotely concerns market value, and that has to do with the return on money, and that's the interest rate that the bonds are selling for and when we purchase them. When we purchase, we don't speculate. We don't try to time the market. We might, you know, we're looking at the market constantly. Gerald will tell you that he's probably looking at it, you know, every minute of the day. But that's only so that we can get the best buy we can for a safe investment at the highest interest rate while still meeting those other two priorities. And once we purchase an investment, very, very rare would we ever sell it before its term is up. We do what's called hold, and, you know, invest and hold, and we hold till maturity. And so that investment loss that gets shown in the financial statements for that one day is not real, because we're not going to dump all our investments in one day and convert it to cash. So that's why I wanted this letter to be on the agenda. I know that was kind of a long-winded explanation, but I was really impressed with you know, one-page letter that really explains what Gerald and I do on a daily basis. I don't know if anybody has any comments or questions. And if not, I'll move on to number six, the quarterly investment report, and turn it over to Gerald.
Alrighty. We'll start on the second page, like always. So the Treasury was in compliance with the Mono County investment policy as of December 31st, 2022. Our weighted average maturity was 520 days. And it is anticipated the County Treasury will be able to meet all its liquidity requirements of its pool participants for the next 6 months. That's that part of the securities, mm-hmm. liquidity, and yield. Let's see here. On the last day of the quarter, on a book basis, the portfolio totaled $212,710,487, and market value was $206,095,427, or 96.89% of book value. So that's where she was talking, where the actual market value is less than what the book value is. And like Janet was saying, there, we would never sell. I mean, it would have to be a complete emergency. But as you'll see later on in the report, you'll see where our liquidity is at too. So that, you know, the odds of ever selling anything for a loss because we need the cash is we mitigate that as best as possible. On 12/31/2022, we had an earned interest rate of 2.4512. So the next five or six pages are our investments. Any questions on the investments? There is one thing I want to bring to your attention. So as you can, on the page two, you can see the admin costs have been increasing. That has to do with our portfolio has quadrupled in size in the last 6 years. So it takes more and more time, more and more cost, because we have a third-party safekeeper. They hold all our investments for us. It costs more money to hold more investments. So as the portfolio increases in size, the cost to manage it goes up. But we try not to have it go up too high.
And Gerald, I don't know what page it's on. It's at the bottom of the listing of all the investments. We have 15 million in T-notes and treasury notes. And, you know, the federal government now is, you know, they're doing some debates and discussion and negotiations on the debt limit. And so even if that debt limit, you know, they default, we're pretty confident, you know, real confident that the federal government's going to make good on their T-notes. Those are explicitly guaranteed by the federal government. Whereas the agency investments that you see up above, which we have much higher, $60 million, those are implicitly guaranteed and they're backed by assets.
Yeah, and if the U.S. Treasury was to default, it more than likely would be a short term, and we would, you know, we would get our money. It would just be maybe a week or two later or something. Depends on how long it took them to get together and get it resolved.
I hope we don't.
But if they default, we have a lot more. We have a bigger issues than having to wait for our money for a week or two. But we always keep enough liquidity in case something like that were to happen. So the next page is the distribution by asset category. So you can see the cash we have, you know, about $4.5 million as of this is all as of the end of December. And if you go down to local agency investment pools, we have $52 million in there. And then at the very bottom, something we added this year. What is a money market mutual fund, and we have 18 million there. So total liquidity, we're looking at over $70 million, and that's a little high. But the reason it's that way is we're getting better yield off of these cash investments than we are in the long term. Now we are staying fully invested throughout the whole 5-year period, but with an extra 30 right now, about $30 million of school bonds in there. Mm-hmm. It's good to keep that cash and making the money while that money's still in there. So
as well as $6 million for the jail, or $5 million for the jail bond.
Yes, $5 million for the jail bond.
That the county did.
So the next page is the maturity distribution as of December 31st, 2020. And you can see the top is the five-year mark. You can see we're fully invested. We're invested more at the bottom end because of that school bond. It gives us, the way the market is, it gives us more yield at that point. And then it'll mature when we need the money to pay for the school construction. If their schedule is correct. So the next page is the Treasury cash balance as of the last day of the most recent 14 months, and as you can see, we have been increasing. Like I said, right now about 30 million of that is school bonds, but the pool has been increasing steadily over the last 6 years.
Gerald, are we maxed out on camp, right?
Yes. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I just get, they're doing really well.
They're doing very well, yeah.
Well performing, so.
What is the cap on camp?
Camp doesn't have a cap. We have a cap in our policy of 20%.
Okay.
And that was of our portfolio.
Right.
And that was mainly we did it because camp was a lot smaller than it is now, mm-hmm. and we didn't want to be 10% of their pool.
Okay.
So that could be problematic, right? So
yeah.
We limited it to 20%, and
okay.
you know, I wish I would have bumped it a little bit for this, but you know. I mean,
they're paying 4.5%.
4.57 this morning. Mm-hmm. So, or no, I'm sorry, 4.75 this morning.
Yeah, the town, we just updated our policy to allow us to invest in camp.
In camp,
and we put $20 million over there, and it's making money.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. All right, next page is the Treasury pool quarterly yield comparison. You can see the green line, which is the 2-year Treasury note, is still way up there, and it'll keep moving up slowly as they keep upping the overnight interest rate. Mm-hmm. We thought maybe it was going to maybe the next one might have been the last one, but we just during January we just had a 0.5% increase in inflation. So who knows what they're going to do? But they've been pretty aggressive, so we're anticipating maybe a little bit longer than everybody was thinking. And then you could see the blue line is Mono County's treasury pool, and then the red line is LAIF. And so we're still outperforming LAIF almost 40 basis points. Not quite. Mm-hmm. They're very slow to respond because of increasing their weighted average maturity during COVID at a very low yielding time. So. And then the last page is the investment pool participants as of December 31st, 2022. We haven't had no change. No one's left, no one's come in. So, and that is it. Any questions on the...
Thank you, Gerald.
Yes, thank you.
Heading into the home stretch here on the agenda, next one, number 7, questions and recommendations. I don't know if we have any. I don't have any.
I have no questions.
No.
Good job.
Trying to do what we can.
I guess I could ask a question specific to the monies for the school and the timing. You know, it's obviously the shorter term and producing. You have them in shorter term vehicles to be available for the time when the funding is needed.
Yes.
But it's just a blessing, I guess, that we're at the stage we are with the short term financing rates
for everyone. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So normally it would actually.
It would be
a disadvantage to the pool, but because of where overnight rates are, it's actually an advantage this time. The last time they sold, it was actually a disadvantage to the pool as a whole. This time,
and the pool carries the benefit or the disadvantage entirely.
Yes, it's all blended.
Okay. So the fact that it's their sort of their monies are sitting there, it's just how you're blending it all in.
It's blended money, yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Now, we made a decision that we weren't going to bifurcate the pool between bonds and the rest of the investments, so that's why that interest rate is blended. It benefits the whole pool.
So we should thank the school.
Well, yeah, but it was a disadvantage the last, you know,
right,
years ago.
Balanced out.
So about, yeah.
Hopefully
so
it does, right? We'll see. So. I mean, I guess we won't, will we ever know?
We don't track those.
So good.
That's but it's, well. It's a lot less. It's a lot easier blending them than having two separate pools. And our investment policy allows the blending to have all the bonds in there. So
And you might even argue that we don't have any legal basis for bifurcating the pool because the specific bond indenture doesn't have an investment policy embedded in it for us to invest separately. So we use our investment policy as the guiding document and policy document for the investment, which kind of speaks to keeping the pool all together and using a blended rate.
Yeah. It also helps the school because it's very difficult to get an actual debt schedule from them on how they're going to pay their bills for the construction. So what you see in here is my best guess on where it needs to be.
So the timing is based on that.
Okay. So, but we have enough at the county level, we have enough liquidity, so if they needed more money earlier, it's not an issue. They wouldn't take a hit on anything.
Right.
We have enough liquidity to do it. So it's in everybody's interest, I believe, to keep it blended.
Yeah.
With the investments maturities layered, I mean, we have maturities coming up all the time that then put cash into the pool, and then the question is, do you reinvest that cat, you know, that surplus that comes up, or do you leave it there, and for how long?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the money market account, I believe right now, you know, CAMP is at 4.75, and we're maxed out. I have to pay attention because I can't go over our 20%. Mm-hmm. And
so would they do the
money market account is our other option. We have about $400,000 in LAIF right now because they're paying so horribly, just to keep the account open. And then the rest went into the money market mutual fund. And it's right now it's at 3.98, I think it was yesterday when I looked. So it's paying very well too.
Yeah.
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 good time to be invested.
Yeah, if we could get some.
You get $1 million of interest for the last quarter, right, net?
1.1. Let's take a look. Yeah, 1.1.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, really good. The highest we've ever had.
Yeah.
So, and then this quarter looks like it's going to be about 1.3 to 1.4 million, depending on, we have accrued interest, so, you know, we don't apportion unless we receive the money.
Right.
So there might be some accrued interest in there, but I'm anticipating, the earned interest being about between $1.3 and $1.4 million for this last quarter.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, that we weren't even doing that for a whole year, just 2 years ago. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. Awesome.
Anything else? Janelle, when's our next meeting?
Go ahead.
We have to decide on May. Jennifer Price wasn't going to be here for the 18th, and neither is Gerald. I'm gone the first 2 weeks of May. So it's looking like if we can be May 31st, which is a Wednesday, or June 1st, which is a Thursday.
And the Dana room is open both those days. I checked that.
So whatever works for...
Thursday works better for me.
Yeah, Thursday for me, the first.
Thursday the first?
Yep.
George, can you be here Thursday the first?
As far as I know, I don't have a real busy schedule.
Cool.
Janet?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Yeah, let's just, okay. I'll get it set up.
So it's going to be June 1st, a Thursday.
And we'll be in person.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And same time, right? 11?
Yep. Yeah, but Kim met at noon, so 11 works out good.
And I'll book the data room for half an hour earlier than the start date this time. We had somebody in here this morning. It's like, oh, no.
Oh. All right, last thing before we adjourn the meeting, I'd like to thank Janelle for all the work that she does to keep us on track and provide her agenda and contents and take minutes, so... Gerald, take her out to lunch.
We're going.
Roberta.
Giovanni.
If there's something else, then I'll adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Janet.
Thanks, Janet.
Thank you, Janelle.
Thanks.